What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right. So I believe when Funchy was filling in for Lindsay, I talked about how Kendrick Lamar was going to drop a new album.
And yeah,
he said, I saw that.
This past weekend, yeah.
Right. He didn't believe it, but you know what? There it is. And he actually dropped a video that a lot of people are talking about because he morphs into different celebrities. And in one of them, he morphed into Will Smith to rap a line that says, hurt people hurt more people. And a lot of people, because he also morphed into O.J. Simpson, Kanye West, Nipsey Hussle. There's a lot, right, for the song, the Hard Part 5. So I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but it's actually really
I've not
dope.
Seen the video.
Oh, my God, it's so good. I will recommend it.
I'm fairly certain Cap hasn't seen the video.
You know, I actually think the video is spectacular myself.
Really?
I've probably watched it. Well, actually, this is a lie. I haven't watched it at all.
I know, we know you lie.
Not one time have I seen it. But I really wanted George to think that I'd seen it because he hasn't seen it, and then he kind of went into, I'm fairly certain Cap hasn't seen it, and I just really wanted to see it and be cool, but I haven't seen it.
Well, you guys should. It is actually a really good, really good video. I haven't seen a video this good in a long time.
I haven't seen a video in a long time.
Well, there is videos out there.
It's not like MTV. Yeah, you just watch them on YouTube and on social.
I know, but I don't really go to YouTube and go, hey, you know, I really want to see that video now.
Well, Twitter puts everything up for me.
Yeah. I guess what I would do is, like, if I wanted to see a song or if I wanted to hear a song, I would go onto YouTube in certain instances, and then I would have the video just by virtue of wanting to see the song. But a lot of times when I go to YouTube for songs, I don't know about you guys, but I'll actually put in the name of the song, and then I'll put in the word lyrics. Because rather than watching the music video, I actually want to read the lyrics so that I can sing along. Do you guys do that?
I do. I'm not going to say I don't, but with certain artists, I want to see the video because of the creativity. And Kendrick is one of those artists for me.
Hey, Cap, did you know that you can do that by, if you listen to music on Apple Music, that if you just mm-hmm. press one little button, that the words come up on the screen for you?
Yep. He didn't know.
Did I not know that, but they don't have that on Pandora, just so you know.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I got to make the switch, Cap.
Yeah, I don't think.
Just do it, man. Just do it. Not because, you know, I work over there too, but just do it.
You're telling me that if I'm on Apple Music mm-hmm. and I'm listening to a song,
yep.
I can push one button that says lyrics and then the lyrics pop up and the video goes away, or just.
There's no video. It's just you hit the one little button in the corner and it's just like a different view. Instead of just showing like the thumbnail or the
cover art,
it shows you the lyrics. And it goes along with the song, you know, like scrolls as you go.
By the way, that is news to me, and that is life-changing news.
That is what you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
That is what you need to know.
Right.
Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
I'm going to watch this video, Kendrick Lamar.
You should. It's really good.
I'm just looking here, and it says hidden meanings behind Kendrick Lamar's The Heart Part 5. Which video should I be looking for, Laura?
I mean,
is it The Heart Part 5?
That's the video.
Yes.
That's the video.
Okay. She just said it. She just said the name of it.
I know, but that was a few seconds ago.
Were you not listening to what she just said?
Oh, here we go again. Here we go.
No, we're not ganging. Okay, look.
No. Wait. What do you mean, here we go again? She literally just said the name of the song like 3 times.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm not familiar with the song. I wasn't
familiar
with the video.
But I knew what that meant, the name of the song, when she said it 3 times.
Did you say it 3 times?
I did, and then I think Lindsay said it, or Sedano said it another time, yeah.
Okay, so The Heart Part 5. I didn't catch that as, okay, so that's the name of the song, The Heart Part 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go watch this video now. And then I'm going to find out all the hidden meanings in this video. Apparently there's a lot of speculation to it.
Yeah, there is, yes.
A lot to it here. The Heart Part 5. Kendrick.
You know what I got out of that? Hurt people hurt people. It's one of my favorite quotes
because
it's so true.
Hurt people hurt people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's when you morphed into Will Smith.
And by the way, you can, if you go on YouTube, Cap, you can watch The Heart, all the parts, 1 through 5.
Oh, you mean there's a lead up to 5?
Yeah.
I just thought this was a creative name for a song, The Heart Part 5.
I mean, it's a song, but, you know.
There's The Heart Part 1?
If you go to YouTube, there's a 1 through 5.
Coffee up.
Why?
Because I was going to laugh, and I was like, oh, man.
Kendrick Lamar. All right, I'm going on YouTube right now.
Well, preferably wait until
the
show's over.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to wait after the show, or during a break.
It's only another 50 minutes or so. I mean, you can wait. You know? You've waited this long. I think you're okay.
By the way, here's Kendrick Lamar, The Heart Part 5 with the lyrics.
Yeah.
There you go, Gav.
Yeah, I'm gonna be learning these lyrics.
El Nene.
That's a good nickname. El Nene.
El Nene.
El Nene. I like it.
Yeah. It's like passive aggressive, yet condescending, yet lovingly enough.
Yes.
It's like all three at the same time.
Yeah. What's the proper translation of El Nene?
El Nene is like the child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
like
listen.
The favorite child.
You know that John Ireland is having a competition between me and Steve Mason to find out who's more immature, or should it be who's less mature?
Oh, he's less of an adult. You're less mature, though.
You think so?
There is a difference.
Yes.
Even Ramona was saying, like, she was thought they were talking about professionalism and stuff, and I feel like there's a lot of things where Mason just doesn't give a bleep. And he knows better. He just doesn't care. Whereas Cap, I feel like he really just doesn't know better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just say this. I'm a competitive guy.
Yeah. So you want to be? You want to be less mature?
No, I just want to win. So whatever it
what
means.
What is winning in this scenario?
Yeah,
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I mean, if you tell me that whoever has more points wins, I'm going to go for more points.
No, Cap. Sometimes not winning is the best thing. And in this scenario, I think not winning is the best thing for you.
Okay, so then let me ask you a question. Should I intentionally tank?
I don't know if you'll be able to because I don't know if you'll know.
Yeah, I don't think that's up to you.
Yeah, it's a personality test where she's going to ask like certain things about how you behave as a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, even if you do try and lie, which you've been known to do.
No.
No, you do lie.
I don't lie.
You just said I lied when you talked about the song, and then I have a drop that says that is a lie.
I ain't lying.
So you're always lying, bro.
I'm not going to lie,
bro. You're just getting caught.
Okay, do you want to do a test? A test of the maturity test? Like we'll do one online?
You mean like I got to go online and fill it out?
No.
I'm going to ask you the damn questions.
Okay, because otherwise I'm not going to do it. But yeah, if you can ask
we
me some questions.
Totally do it.
I mean, prep me up for this so I can either win or lose.
That's what we're trying to do.
We're trying to help you out, man.
All right, Laura, play some music. Any music. As a matter of fact, why don't you play Kendrick Lamar? Lamar is fine. Yeah,
how about like The Heart Part 5? It's my new favorite song.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you've never even heard it yet.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
It's a good song.
Right. Let's go. That's perfect. Yes. All right. How often do your feelings confuse you? Rarely. I'm at ease with my emotions. Sometimes, but I'm working on it. My feelings always confuse me.
Jeez, that's a lot to take in right now. Give me my answers one more time.
Rarely, I'm at ease with my emotions. Sometimes, but I'm working on it. My feelings always confuse me.
I'm going to go with rarely. Is that the right answer?
I don't know what the right answer is. That's fine.
Oh, okay, I'm going to go with rarely.
Okay.
Okay, keep
going.
Next
question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you usually regret your emotional reactions? No, I think before reacting. Rarely, I'm trying to reduce impulsiveness. Yes, I'm very impulsive. Oh, I mean, you're definitely the third one.
Oh, man.
I mean, you can say what you want, but
right,
we all know.
Like, I feel like I probably am the third one, but I also feel like that's probably the wrong answer.
No, it's not about the right or wrong answer. It's who you actually are.
Yeah,
answer truthfully.
Answer honestly.
Mm-hmm. Not what you want, what you think you want.
Answer like if you were writing The Heart Part 6.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. That's good. Thank you, George. That has helped reset me. Okay, The Heart Part 6, yeah.
Yes, you're very impulsive. Let's just answer that one for you.
All right, you guys answered for me.
All right, next question.
Which
one? There's 20 questions here. Which one describes? We gotta go through this faster. Which one describes your actions after making a mistake? I apologize and try to fix it. I confess and apologize right away. I try to explain why I made that mistake. Oh, I know the answer.
That's definitely the third one.
I'm gonna go with one.
No way.
I'm gonna wait. Now hold on a second here. You guys told me to answer honestly.
We should be taking it for you.
You told me, you guys told me answer honestly. Now I answer honestly and you tell me it's the wrong answer.
But the three of us are like, you're lying. That's not you.
No way, man.
We should be taking the test for you. I think that when you take this test, we need to have like witnesses in the room.
Right. Because
that was
You are not apologize and try
to. Where is your daughter?
I mean, who do you try to apologize and fix it with? With Rachel? Because not with us.
That was
every time we say that you did something wrong, you immediately explain yourself away.
I feel like that was the very first question that I had a definitive and confident answer to.
Okay, fine. We'll go with your answer.
Perfect example of the Star Wars night thing. But okay, continue.
Even though it's probably
wait a second, that's a perfect example, Lindsay.
No, the perfect example is that you okay. you thought that you were right, and you sat there and argued, and then once you found out you were wrong, you tried to, you did say, okay, I was wrong.
I stand corrected.
But the reason why I thought that, and you tried to explain away why you were wrong.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next question. How easy is it for you to apologize even though it's not your fault? Very easy, slightly difficult, or very challenging? When it's not your fault.
So I have to apologize even though it's not my fault.
Even though it's not your fault. It's someone is upset with you.
Be the bigger person.
Your daughter, your son. I mean, we're never really upset with you. But like those people in your life, if they're just upset and they're like, Dad, you just made me upset. Or Scott, you just made me upset. Mm-hmm. Like whichever one it is. Do you just capitulate and just like, all right, fine, I'm sorry? Or do you like try to state your case?
Okay, give me the answers one more time.
Very easy, slightly difficult, or very challenging to apologize even though it's not your fault?
I'm going to go with very easy.
Okay.
I would not.
With Rachel, I feel like that's accurate.
What would you guys have gone with there?
The capitulation. Mm-hmm. What kind of listener are you? Active, I engage in the conversation. Somewhat active, I try to engage. Passive, I usually just listen. This is definitely not the third one.
Please repeat the question, I'll say.
What kind of listener are you? That would be funny if you did.
I'm going to go with one.
Active, I engage in the conversation. You do. That's fair. I'll give you that one. How often do you flip out? Rarely. I'm usually calm. Sometimes, but I'm working on it. Often, I can't control my rage. You're not a rage person, so I would eliminate the third one.
I'm going to go with two. Sometimes.
Sometimes. But you're
rarely,
working on it.
But sometimes. On occasion. I might lose
it. Look at you. All right. Are you able to exclude toxic people from your life? Most of the time, yes. I try to do so is the second answer. No, I'm stuck with toxic people.
Lindsay, what's my answer going to be?
I say you're in the middle.
I mean, after the conversation last week about the guy who hadn't spoken to me for a year, who needed reservations on Mother's Day at 10:30 for three people at the fanciest hotel
in
town.
Last one.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I do a poor job of eliminating toxic people.
Okay, so I'm trying to. All right, let me see. How many more do we have? We're going to do a little halftime during the break. We got two more, and then we're going to take a break. And then we'll just do some during the break and finish it up on the other side. Because there's too many questions. How much attention is enough attention in a romantic relationship? It depends. I don't know. Full and unconditional attention.
It depends.
Okay. One more. How frank and unfiltered are you? Not at all. I'm very considerate. I'm trying to
you
have more
even
filters.
Finish the no. question.
No filters. I'm very frank and outspoken. It's
yeah, there you go.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. No filters.
All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to continue this test during the break and then have more of the results in, ideally on the other side. So we'll take a break. Plus, coming up, I didn't get to the Lakers coaching search. This thing has taken an interesting twist, and I actually think a positive one. Yes, I know. You heard me say something positive about the Lakers. I know people get don't believe I can do that. We'll have that next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bailamos! Let the rhythm take you over. Bailamos! Te quiero! Bailamos! Come on, Cap. I can see you
I feel like sometimes
off the coast of Cabo on some yacht listening to this song.
But I feel like sometimes you got to know when to lay out.
With the whales in the background.
Yeah. The orcas.
Yeah, the orcas.
The fake orcas.
Photoshopped.
You know, it's funny, George, people still talk to me about that. They're like, I really thought that was Photoshopped. And then I watched your video and I'm like, there's no way he could possibly do this. Just a lucky picture. That's all I can tell you.
So we finished your maturity test. Do you want to know what
air.
It says?
Wait, I'm curious what the results are.
It says you are a mature person. You seem to be at ease with your emotions. You can identify your genuine emotions despite them showing up on various faces. And that is an undeniable sign of maturity. You also have healthy boundaries, keeping toxic people away from your life. But most important thing is that you dare to own up to your mistakes. Plus, you do not deny that you are emotionally vulnerable. See, I feel like this would have changed if we would have gotten that one question that Lindsay and I and Laura pushed back on. But it's fine. Might have been a different result.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a bad test for me to take. Too positive, you know, coming out of it. So I hope that John Ireland can come up with a different kind of test for me and Steve Mason to find out ultimately who is less mature or who's more immature. I'm not really sure if there's a nuance between the two or what the language says should be the right way of saying it. But that all together, we are going to have a test of maturity between me and Mason. Who do you think is going to win?
I think Mason is going to win.
Okay.
I agree.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think Mason, Lindsay had the right point earlier. He just doesn't care about certain things.
Like he definitely knows better in a lot of the things that, you know, like he knows Correct. Better than to yeah. do the shirtless interview with Kevin Demoff from the Rams. Like he knows better, but he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to find out ultimately.
You I think there's win that. I don't think you would do.
Yeah. I mean, you think I should just like put down my competitive spirit and not try and win that?
I don't know. I just feel like you don't want to win that. Like anything else but that.
Okay. I want to win a bunch of Mandy Awards, though. I'll tell you that right now. And
you will.
And mostly because I know Steve wants to win them all. Knowing that Mason wants to win all the Mandy Awards makes me want to win some Mandy's. And by the way,
if you want to vote for the Mandy Awards, go to 710awards.net and make sure you subscribe. Well, you should subscribe to our podcast wherever you find your podcast. But you should also download our app. Speaking of podcasts, you can find it there. You don't need to go anywhere else. Just go to your app store and download the ESPN LA app. And you can listen live. You can listen to all the podcasts. You can do all the contesting there. You got a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah. And it's free.
Yeah. And it's good.
It's really good. It's a great app.
You know what's good?
Tell me.
The fact that the Lakers are thinking about an offensive coach. They interviewed Terry Stotts this weekend, and if you're going to keep Russell Westbrook, Scott Kaplan, you better get somebody who knows offense because, you know, for as great as Frank was defensively, and I think Frank's a good coach. I think most guys that have played for Frank like him. Russ probably not one of them is my guess. But I think Terry is more of an offensive guy, right? Because he's more of an offensive guy, I think that's what this team needs at this particular moment.
Let me ask you a question. Are you saying that, let's just assume for a moment that Terry Stotts, who has a resume that says he's an offensive-minded coach,
correct,
has this exact same roster next year and everybody's healthy, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you saying that to win games, you're going to try and score like 140 points a night and you're going to try and outscore everybody rather than defend?
Yeah, I'm saying that if the roster is similar, that you're probably going to have to do that. Yeah, you're probably going to have to outscore teams.
See, that's because when you said it, that you thought that they should be going for an offensive-minded coach, I thought that sounded kind of counterintuitive because they could, I mean, they were decent offensively, at least LeBron was really good, but everybody stunk defensively. So I would have thought that you were going to say they need more of a defensive-minded coach to teach defensive philosophy. But I think what's interesting about what you're saying is no, better defense is more offense, if I hear what
Correct.
You're saying rightly.
At yeah. this point, yeah. Mm-hmm. At this point, because I'd have to look at what you have on the Lakers salary cap. Let me look at the roster makeup here.
By the way, I just said the word rightly. I don't really know where that came from in my vocabulary. Yeah. But I was like, if I understand you rightly, not if I understand you correctly. Yeah. If I understand what you're saying, if I understand you exactly, if I understand you rightly.
Yeah. So let me look at this. Now, I don't know how accurate this particular thing on the internet is, but clearly we know that Russ is under contract. LeBron is under contract. Anthony Davis is under contract. Talen Horton-Tucker is under contract. Kendrick Nunn. I believe Stanley Johnson is probably going to be – they can pick up his deal for next year, if I recall correctly, or if they haven't already. And then Wenyen Gabriel has a team option.
Okay.
Now, the last two guys defend – Austin Reeves, right? I believe they can – they you know, they'll have Austin Reeves too. So those three guys that at the bottom of the roster can defend. Kendrick Nunn is not a defender. He's a scorer. Talen Horton-Tucker I think can be a good defender. I just don't know if I'm confident of that just yet. Anthony Davis, obviously, when healthy, is a good defender. I think LeBron at this stage is going to have to pick and choose when he plays defense at 37 going on 38. And I would not be, I'd be okay with that because I kind of understand, you know, the man's almost 40, right? Like, you got to save, conserve some energy somewhere.
I think you're getting better LeBron on offense than you will on defense anyway.
Yeah. And I think LeBron, if they made the playoffs, would defend at a high level still. And then Russ is not a defender. So it just depends on what the rest of that roster looks like, because I just named 5, 6, 7 guys, and you got to fill out a roster still. There's 9 more spots to go. But, yeah, like, I think with the guys that are there, that, you know, there's a lot of offense there. Like, you can create a good offense for sure.
Well, I think that scoring is the most exciting part of the game. 3-point shots, dunks. The more scoring, the better. So if you're telling me that a offensive-minded coach with the same roster of players who would much rather play offense than defense and outscoring everybody is how you win games, as somebody who likes a lot of scoring...
Well, no. I think to win a championship, you still need to play defense. But I think that you can create... Like, Terry Stotts could hire a defensive coordinator type, basically, and have someone that he trusts to help install a defense. But I think that, and they're going to need guys that can defend if they want to win a championship, if that's their goal. I would agree with that. But I think that initially, if you're starting 5 or 5 of your top 7 rotation guys are going to be Russ, LeBron, Talen Horton-Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, and Anthony Davis, then if those are 5 of your top 7 or 8 rotation guys, you have more offensive guys there than defensive guys at this stage. So you should probably have an offensive-minded coach.
Okay. You have made a compelling case for Terry Stotts. I would say this. The average guy driving around right now, what do you know about Terry Stotts? In other words, if the Lakers hired Terry Stotts, would you go, wait a second now?
No, but you didn't do that with Frank Vogel either. And it
I understand that. And so that's what I'm getting at. Like, you'd have to learn who he is, where he coached, who he coached, how he coaches. I mean, there's a lot that you have to learn.
He learned under Rick Carlisle, mostly.
Okay.
Okay. Rick Carlisle's a great coach. He was on that championship team that beat LeBron in the finals. He was on that staff. He was an assistant on that staff. And then he had a great, I thought, a very good run with the Blazers. He got the team to a conference finals. Every year people thought that they were not going to be very good, and they were always in the playoffs. So, and look, that team was flawed. It was built flawed. There's no doubt. And I'm not saying this team is not built flawed, but, you know, there's still a lot of players that could be added to this team to reduce some of those potential flaws. So I think you could do way worse than Terry Stotts. I like Terry Stotts as a head coach. I think Terry Stotts is a good offensive guy, and I think Terry Stotts is a good guy, right? I think he checks all those boxes to me. And he's not the sexiest name by any stretch of the imagination. But he is absolutely a good offensive coach, and he has proven to be a good head coach and a guy that a superstar in Damian Lillard trusted.
Okay, let me ask you this question. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terry Stotts gets hired. Nobody even asks LeBron. Nobody asks AD. Nobody asks Clutch Sports. The Lakers make a unilateral decision. We are hiring our next coach. We don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it. We're doing what's best for us. Okay, can we start with that premise?
Sure.
Terry Stotts walks into the locker room. LeBron's sitting here. AD's sitting here. Russ is sitting over here. Those are the 3 personalities I got to think about. Mm-hmm. What do those 3 guys look at me? I'm Terry Stotts. What do they see? What do they know?
They know that I coached some teams that scored a lot of points in Portland.
Okay. What else do they know about me? Do they respect me when I walk through the door? Do they look at me and go, this guy knows what's going on in this league. This guy understands players. This guy knows how to win a championship. Like, I know when he walks in the room, Terry Stotts, that's a guy I trust. That's a guy I believe in.
I think they look at him as a guy that has, that there's a modicum of success, right? Kind of like Frank. There is a level of success that you have to respect. And the fact that he's coached superstars like Dame and LaMarcus Aldridge when LaMarcus was there in his career. So he's coached a guard that's one of the better guards in the NBA, one of the top 75 players of all time, and another multiple time All-Star big man in LaMarcus Aldridge. So He clearly is a guy who understands offense. So
I am so glad you said, though, like Frank, because to me that's exactly what I was thinking, that these guys would see Terry Stotts and they go, pfft, they got the next Frank Vogel here, didn't they?
Yeah. I think they're very similar demeanor-wise. And except the difference is their specialties. One is a defensive guy and one is an offensive guy. And by the way, that's not to say that they don't know the other side. You know what I mean? But they are elite at one end, for sure.
George, I hear what you're saying. You know, you respect the guy. He's had, as you said, a modicum of success. I think Terry Stotts walks into the Laker locker room as it's currently configured, and everybody there laughs.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. I don't think everybody laughs. Like, no, that's not true. I think they're just like, maybe he's not the name because he's not the sexiest name, that they don't like sit there and go, wow, we got Terry Stotts, you know, but laughs, no. I think there's definitely a happy medium in there.
Yeah, well, I think that the Lakers need to hire somebody that makes everybody go, whoa,
yeah,
good hire.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that. I mean, maybe this is a
guy I can believe in. I can believe in this guy right here.
I mean, look, I'd like them to hire Darvin Ham too, but I've never seen him as a head coach. So I think there's that too. Let's get back to this at 6:40 because we've got Big Deal or No Deal next in 2 minutes.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thank you, Christopher. All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so on Sunday, the first ever F1 Miami Grand Prix took place. Did you guys watch the race at all?
I will tell you guys, I made it a point to sit down and watch it. Yes.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Awesome. Well, anyway, it was a big
event. I did,
event.
Too. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a big event with a lot of celebrities. I don't know. You know, I wasn't planning on watching it, but then, you know, this thing went viral on Twitter. So, of course, I had to turn it on. So, there was a lot of celebrities there. And before the race, Sky Sports reporter Martin Brundle entered what they call the grid walk, where everybody with a pass gathers on the track before the starting gun goes off. And Brundle wanted to chat with all of these celebs, which got super awkward when he approached someone who he thought was Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Here is what it sounded like.
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself. But the real focus.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paolo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else. So I'm sorry about that. Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, Duke basketball player, not Patrick Mahomes. So this was one of a couple awkward interviews that Brundle encountered. Did you think that the awkwardness that he had, a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
Yeah, I thought it was a big deal, but in like a funny way. And it just goes to show you how F1 and Sky Sports doing those broadcasts are like, you know, they don't know. We live in this bubble that like American sports are like the sports everyone watches, when mm-hmm. that's not the case, clearly. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm going to go the opposite direction and say no deal for a very similar reason, that it was funny and in some ways kind of cute and self-deprecating, because the story on this guy is, I don't know if you guys know this or not, I didn't, I had to do some research. This Google thing actually works. He does this for every F1 race, but he doesn't walk around talking to celebrities, because in Europe, it's not a celebrity-driven thing. He talks to team owners, to pit crew chiefs, to drivers
former
themselves.
Race car drivers, yeah.
Yeah, so for him, he's like out there by himself trying to do like this celebrity thing, but he doesn't know who anybody is. And he thought this kid looked like Patrick Mahomes, and maybe he does, but he's about 8 inches taller than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, it was too funny. He was trying so hard. He tried to get, was it Serena or Venus Williams? And he was like, hello, hello. Everyone started crowding around her, and he was just like, well, that's not going to happen. He ended up getting David Beckham, and he was like, oh, he said something like, he usually shoos me away, and he got him to talk for like 2 seconds. It was weird. It was like a train wreck. I couldn't stop watching.
Dude, how about I don't know if you guys saw the post-race interviews with the guy. I think his name is like Willie T. Ribs or something like that. And he's like this old man talking to these young kids like he's their grandfather. And every question's like, so about the tires today and about the chassis on the track, let me hear it. I was like, dude, you're like deep inside the mechanics of the car. Like, I'm watching for the first time. Can you talk about something I might understand? Anyway,
that's
I liked
not,
it.
That's not what Willie T. Ribs knows about, though.
I don't know. I liked it, though. I enjoyed the whole presentation.
It was funny. And I feel like they need to make this a thing moving forward. Like, having him go to the Super Bowl or something and just interviewing people who he has no clue who they are. I think it would be a good bit.
Yeah, it'd be funny. George, you see the end of it when they gave away the awards in Dan Marino, in front of the Dan Marino statue, gave away the winner award, and how cool it was the way they were all spraying champagne and the confetti was flying. Like, it really, really made for great TV, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. I thought they did a great job as far as, like, the aesthetics of it. There's no
right,
doubt.
Right.
Dan Marino looked good, too. Like, I mean, like, that guy was, like, ripped. Looked good, though.
Dan Marino is a good-looking man.
Far from ripped, though, I can tell you that.
I mean, he just looks very, he looks very.
He still
shape,
looks in pretty good shape for a guy in his 60s.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
he's 60 years old, exactly, as a matter of fact.
Someone who's not in great shape, no offense, Mike Leach, he offered a suggestion for the college football playoff following the Kentucky Derby. So as we all know, the 80-1 long shot, Rich Strike, took home the first place honors at the Derby, and the upset victory was used as an example by Mike Leach in his push for expansion in college football's postseason. He tweeted out, quote, "That horse winning the Kentucky Derby today is a good example of why an expanded college football playoff is needed. That horse hadn't won all the races leading up, but it got its chance, and that's what happened." Mike Leach actually making some sense there. Is what he said a big deal or no deal, Cap?
I'm going to say no deal. We get it. We all understand it. Sometimes long shots come in. Sometimes upsets happen. And that's why they play the games. We get it. Mike Leach isn't telling me anything I don't know. So I'm going no deal.
Yeah, I'm going no deal as well. I don't feel like Mike Leach is doing anything revelatory either. So,
did you say revelatory?
Revelatory.
Great word. Great word. Really nice job. Really, really well done.
I wish I had Mike Leach saying that, because I just love to hear Mike Leach quotes, because he's just so funny. Funny guy.
Revelatory. Gosh darn, that's a good word. I'm going to use that.
You should use that. Put that in your vocab. All right, last one here. Gleyber Torres lifted the Yankees to a thrilling victory on Sunday over the Texas Rangers with a walk-off home run to right field. After the game, Rangers manager Chris Woodward took aim at Yankee Stadium's short porch, saying, quote, "Small ballpark. That's an easy out in 99% of the ballparks. Torres just happened to hit it in a little league ballpark to right field." And the Yankees and their fans kind of got all up in arms about this. It was a big deal on social media. People were blowing up about it. Is what Chris Woodward said a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
We did this in Around the Horn today. It's actually no deal, because he sounds like someone who's just uneducated about ballparks, number one. The home run that he's complaining about, two of his teammates hit home runs in that game that were shorter on the right field porch than the one he's complaining about in the same game. And then that he said that it wouldn't be a home run in 99% of the ballparks. It would literally have been a home run in his home ballpark. So it's just, the whole thing is silly, I think.
I'm going to go no deal also, but here's why. I don't know if you guys have noticed this while watching games this year. The number of times you think a ball is going out and it doesn't go out because... And the players are all complaining about the ball, the actual ball itself. And it's surprising to me that a baseball isn't just a standardized thing, generationally speaking. Like, why isn't the baseball the same it's always been? And so I feel like a lot of hitters look at putting the bat on the ball and thinking the ball's out, and it's not out. And I feel like a lot of teams have thought that home runs were going... Hey, bottom line is this. The ball's not right. Something's not right with it. And so for this guy to complain about the short porch rather than be talking about the balls, I don't know, man. To me, he hit a soft ball out of that ballpark. So I'm saying no deal, even though I just talked in a lot of circles.
No deal. Got it. I mean, I will say, I remember as somebody who grew up, I don't know, so many miles from where they made the Wilson footballs, like their factory is in like Columbus or near Columbus, something like that in Ohio. I remember every year around like Super Bowl time, everyone would do like the local news piece about where they make the footballs, especially for the Super Bowl. And I feel like, shouldn't they be doing that with the baseballs? Like, isn't there just one place that makes all the baseballs? Why are they made, like, any different? Why are they not
identical?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It's I don't get it either, but it is.
Aren't Major League Baseballs all Rawlings? Isn't that the brand?
Like, yeah, but they're made differently.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Purpose.
I mean, I don't understand how a Spalding basketball, a Wilson football, and a Rawlings baseball are not just completely standardized. They don't change the NFL football every year. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, in baseball, they've had some issues with that.
All right, Linz, where are we going from here?
That's it for Big Deal or No Deal today.
That's it, huh?
All right.
Well, that's a big deal. Hey, George, in this Big Deal or No Deal, Lindsay talked about Mike Leach and college football and giving everybody a shot because you never know when an 80-1 long shot is going to come in. You said something earlier today about college football and about, I think you were going down the road of NIL issues. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes. So,
and I was curious to hear what you were going to say, but then we got off on some other tangent.
The NCAA has this thing where they are putting down new rules for NIL, right? And it's all this stuff about boosters not being allowed to do stuff. And it's just like, dude, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, first of all, how are you enforcing this, number one? How, you know, what kind of subjectivity is there to that? And the other part of it is like, how do you know what's a legit business or not? Like, who's going to be policing this thing? They don't have – clearly what we've learned over the last decade is that the NCAA doesn't have enough people to police this stuff, even if they wanted to. So I just think all of it is just stupid. It's for show. I actually think what's going to end up happening is you're pushing this along this road where eventually there's going to be just one massive super college football league. And there's going to be like 32 teams, and they'll be like – you know, six teams in four divisions, and they'll just play it out like that, and they'll be spread all across the country. You'll have, like, USC and Oregon and Alabama and, you know, Miami and whatever, like, teams from the – certain teams in the – Texas, Oklahoma, right? Like, you'll have these 32 teams that'll battle it out, and that will be it, and they're not even going to need the NCAA. Like, eventually that's where this is headed.
Well, I think this clearly what's happened is – I love your analogy of putting the toothpaste back in the toothpaste thing, the tube.
The tooth thing?
Yeah.
The tube.
Yeah, because George, let me tell you something. The visual on that, I was thinking to myself, like, how could I possibly put it back in? Like, it's out. So you can't. That's the problem. You know, it doesn't go back in. But you know what's happened here is that once this NIL thing happened and once this transfer portal thing happened, guess who lost all control? The NCAA.
Yeah.
They have been in such control. It's been like this, communist kind of thing where they're in total control of everybody, and they've lost all control, because even though it's an NIL name, imaging, and licensing deal, really what it comes down to is we're finally paying the players, and rich boosters can pay the players, and you know what they can say? Oh yeah, they work for our company, they're now an NIL person. And so that's what it's come down to. Finally, the players are going to be paid by the rich boosters.
Right.
It was happening.
Over the board, basically, as opposed to under the table. Yeah.
Right. Right. And the NCAA doesn't like it. They've lost control. And that's what's happened here. Toothpaste ain't going back in the tube. No chance. By the way, speaking of toothbrushes and toothpaste, let me ask you a question. How often do you change your toothbrush?
Once the bristles start to kind of get a little, like, you know, like pushed out. You know what I mean?
How many toothbrushes do you think you use in a year?
No, man, I haven't really thought about it. You know, a couple, three, four, I don't know.
Okay, it's an important question, because my bristles have all of a sudden, like you said, kind of gone outwards. And I said to Rachel, I said, I need to go to Costco and get some toothbrushes. She said, why can't you go to Vons and buy a toothbrush? I'm like, well, first of all, I got all my kids at home all summer long, so that's a lot of people. And I just feel like I need to change my toothbrush more frequently. I feel like when I'm brushing my teeth right now, there's something in the bristles that I can't see that's like an old piece of food that every time I brush my teeth, it like... It's like a rock in your shoe.
TMI.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so cool.
Why do you always need to go extra, bro?
Is that really extra?
Why don't you just floss?
No, I floss all the time, dude. I love to floss.
Okay. Once a month.
Did you ever buy that water pick?
I didn't buy the water pick, but I did buy the floss pick thingies. You know, so it's not like that. You're doing it with two hands. You know, it's like the one little pick, and it's got the little teeny tiny.
Those are for like on the go, though. Those aren't meant for like everyday use. You're supposed to use the actual floss, because those don't get everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And wait, and Laura, you say you're supposed to change your toothbrush out once a month?
Once a month.
Yeah, I don't do that. It may be like me, like once every like 2 or 3 months.
I have the electric one, and you know how like Costco has the Philips.
Yeah, they do like they come in like packs of like mm-hmm. 5 or 6, right?
My dentist said once a month, so I do it. I like maybe go like a month and a half, but yeah, because they're not cheap. But yeah, once a month is supposed to be if you have those or like a toothbrush, it's once a month.
I feel like I haven't changed my toothbrush in a long time.
You let us go on this tangent for a little too long because we're up against the break, and the boss has a new clock, and we need to follow it. Okay.
Yeah.
So we can talk about your tooth issues on the other side. We're back in 2 minutes.
I love Lion Revenge on Tuesday.
You don't like this song, though. You're like whatever to it.
I'm saying that I like the earlier Billy Joel better than I like the middle of the like MTV poppy stuff. I'm more into the old school Billy Joel.
Bring world. Do you like telling people about places you've been to? I feel like you're that kind of guy. Like if someone tells you, hey, I'm going to Hawaii for the first time and you've been there, like you're good with giving people like a laundry list of things to do there. Or no, do I have that mistaken?
No, I think that's actually a pretty good description. I'll give you an example. Our man Bergman said, hey, I want to bring my girlfriend on a little weekend getaway.
In San Diego.
I'm thinking about San Diego. He goes, what would you think? Where would you go? What hotel would you stay at? What restaurants would you go to? What activities might you do? And if you've ever been on an airplane where like you're reading like the magazine from the airplane because you're so bored that you're actually picking up the magazine. And I'm not talking about the Sky Mall, which is also fascinating. I'm talking about the actual magazine. There's always like an article like 3 days in Los Angeles with George Sedano. And then it's you taking people through what you would do for 3 days if you had 3 days in L.A. So, yeah, I like to give people advice if they're going places I've been.
Good. I'm just curious. I'm just only saying that because a buddy of mine just went to Hawaii for the first time, and he was just texting me a second ago. And they're in Maui, so I was telling him places to go. Like, he told me where he was staying, and I'm like, oh, there's like a bunch of cool little spots right by you. But I was curious. Yeah. I felt like you were that guy, but I needed to know if you were that guy. See, I just called you that guy, and you didn't get offended by it this time.
No, I don't like it when people call me that guy. But as Mason has pointed out to me, it's okay to be that guy. I just have an issue with people calling me or anybody that guy. Because I feel like it's too easy to call somebody that guy.
But you're that guy in a good way now. See?
Yeah, even when it's good, I don't like it.
You took the negative connotation before.
Probably so. Probably so.
Yeah. I mean, that's revelatory.
Hey, don't use that word again until I get a chance to use it, please. Relevatory.
So let's finish up the NIL conversation. Yeah, I just feel like the NCAA is really just, God, they're just like mall cops to me.
I understand. I do. I think, look, a lot of old school people don't love the NIL. They don't love the transfer portal.
Or this. I saw Dennis Dodd at CBSSports.com write a story. And this is off the heels of everybody writing stories last week about USC and the wide receiver from Pitt that we talked about last week, right?
And by the way, I've still never really seen official confirmation on what happened with that kid. Have you?
I have not.
Yeah. I mean, I thought like it was a done deal. He's going to USC, and he's going to be neighbors with Lincoln Riley. And I haven't seen like official confirmation on that.
Maybe he is or maybe he isn't. But anyway, everyone is writing a think piece about that, right? Because it's USC, okay? Mm-hmm. And today, Dennis Dodd at CBS wrote, one anonymous AD is basically complaining about NIL in Miami. And it's like, so last week it was USC, this week it's Miami, and it's what I told you. These small schools are so threatened by those two schools because they're in huge metropolises. So because of that, they know that the NIL money is going to be easier to come by in those cities because there's just more people with big bucks.
Well, listen, this is why I'm going to say this, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not going to be patient in the slightest bit with USC. I expect USC to be a national power player immediately. Okay? Listen, to say that I expect them to win a national championship this year, a little far-fetched. Expect them to start making noise this year, and within 2 to 3 years, be playing in the playoff, if my expectations are too high, you'll have to excuse me. But you got the coach, you got the quarterback, you got the community that has the money, and that's what it takes to get the best players. So if that's going to work, then I expect immediate results.
Now, Lindsay, what is it? What are the odds at USC to win the Pac-12?
2-1.
Yeah,
okay. According to Bet Online.
That makes sense. Now, Oregon is going to have, I think, potentially, a better overall roster, but they have a first-time head coach. So that's a big thing for me. Like, yeah, Oregon may have good players because Cristobal was there for 3 years and got really good players for them, and they're going to be able to kind of feed off of that for a little while. But a first-time head coach scares me a little bit, especially going up against Lincoln Riley. And Lincoln Riley's got his quarterback. That defense at USC still needs some help, in my estimation. But I too, believe, Cap, that there is a chance to win the Pac-12. Yes.
You think a school like Oregon, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples, you think Oregon is going to be able to maintain what their program has been through this world of NIL? Because you're talking about USC and Miami.
Well,
as being,
because of Nike, you're saying?
Right. Yeah. Do you think so?
I mean, it's possible. I think the problem with Oregon is less about that and more about getting kids to go to Oregon. And that's why, you know, Chip Kelly built a team that, you know, when Chip Kelly was, you know, people say now that he doesn't love the recruiting aspect. I don't know. I don't know Chip Kelly like that, so I can't say yes or no. I'm just telling you what people who cover the sports say, right? Not me, because I don't know. So I'm not saying that, Chip, if you're listening. Or Martin.
What do you mean, if he's listening? They're both listening.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So anyway, the but he built something that was pretty awesome there, right? Fair to say. And then Mark Helfrich came, and then for a little bit, it looked like he could carry it. But then we realized very quickly, oh, no, he can't. And then they went Willie Taggart. That was only like a year. But Taggart brought in Cristobal to be his associate head coach. And then Cristobal took it over. They won two Pac-12 titles. And he recruited a bunch of monsters from all over the country, and basically turned them into an SEC style school with the type of roster that they had. He just wasn't able to finish the deal because he ended up leaving to go to his alma mater. But I guess yes, they have the money and the facilities and all that stuff, but do they have the right guy in charge to make that work? Is
not
my
really
question.
Sure.
I don't know the answer to that.
Not really sure about their coach, but here's what I do know.
Yeah.
Phil Knight can give every player who comes to Oregon an NIL deal, and that money, the Nike money, could keep Oregon nationally relevatory.
No, relevant.
I know, I was trying to somehow work in relevatory. trying really
his,
hard.
His word was meant like part of like a revelation, right?
Yes.
And you're talking about relevant, two
then
totally different
then why
things.
Isn't it revelatory?
It's revelatory.
That's what he said.
That's what I said.
So then I just made up relevatory?
Yes.
That's a pretty good word, though, don't you think? Relevatory versus revelatory. Not bad. Not bad.
Okay.
Now listen, let me throw another one at you. You ready for this?
Throw one at me, Cap.
Okay. If Nike is the school of Oregon, then Maryland is the school of Under Armour.
Correct.
Now, you and I probably don't think of Maryland as being any kind of a powerhouse, do we?
No.
Right. But could Under Armour start spending so much money on NIL deals that all of a sudden Maryland becomes
relevant?
Right. Not revelatory. What do you think?
I've been hearing that for almost a decade, man.
Hasn't happened, has it?
No.
But now, it's not like, hey, we just sponsor their uniforms. Now it's, we freaking pay the players.
Maybe.
Just thinking about other schools other than USC or Miami.
Tua's kid brother goes there.
To Maryland, right, yeah. Just thinking about other schools that maybe don't have the market size and maybe don't have the tradition, the college football tradition of a USC or a Miami, but maybe have a big company with an owner who's really close to the school and the program that can, rather than just sponsoring uniforms and doing deals with the school, can pump enough money into
the
locker
room. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Ultimately, kids are going to want to be somewhere cool. And if I had my choice, and this is me, like if I had my choice, I'd much rather be in L.A. or Miami than I would be in Tuscaloosa.
I don't know about that.
What? Really?
Here's why.
You'd rather be in Tuscaloosa. If all things were equal, you'd rather be in Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
No, if all things were equal, but they're not.
Right, but eventually this is the great equalizer, why do you think Nick Saban is complaining about NIL?
Because he's probably been paying kids for all these years and getting away with it. And now,
well, I don't know
else
if he has
it.
Or hasn't, but perhaps that is that's an assumption many would make. And by in regards to a lot of programs. But what I would say is there's just more wealth.
I understand
in
what
big
I'm getting
cities.
At. What I'm getting at is if you go to Miami or USC, you know, there's not an on-campus stadium. There's not like this crazy Saturday.
Well,
kids.
USC, I mean, the Coliseum is right there.
No, I got it, but it's not. It's not like it is at Alabama, you know, or at Clemson, or at, you know, the Penn State or Notre Dame. So I'm just saying, I don't know for sure if the Miami thing means more to me than the crowd that shows up at in Alabama versus the crowd that shows up in Miami. Or, listen, I expect USC to be competing immediately. Right. I expect 90,000 people to be in the Coliseum on Saturday.
All right, we got
to
go, bro. Save it for mañana, bro. There's 4 more days left in the week, okay?
All right.
All right. Good job, Cappy. Great job, Lindsay and Laura. We'll talk to you mañana. See ya.